All right. Call to order, regular meeting, public hearing, Lakeland Planning Commission, Thursday, June 13th, 2013, 7 o'clock at City Hall. On tonight's agenda, we have predominantly a public hearing and some deliberation, but so for the public's benefit, before we get to that, just to let you know, we're going to do some procedural things, and then we will get to the public hearing, and I'll say more about that. It'll only be a few minutes.
Move to approve minutes.
So, thank you. Minutes, May 23rd Planning Commission meeting. That was your motion. So moved. Do I have a second?
I will second.
Comments, corrections, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Well, we zipped through that one, but I have agenda item 3, public comment on non-agenda items. And I highlighted it so that I remember this time. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on a non-agenda item, so something not concerning the hearing?
No non-agenda.
Travis, for the record?
For the record. I just actually have a message.
Oh, remember who you are.
Of course. Travis Bridgman, 713 Ogle Avenue Northeast. And it's just a relay of a message. And it's that our community will really, truly benefit from a senior housing project, that the seniors can live in a house, like the cottage style. And our society, our citizens, a lot of them are ready to live in a senior housing project right away. And they own these beautiful houses, and so it'd just be real beneficial to offer them some more support, and then new families can live in their houses.
Thank you.
That's it.
All right. Seeing no one else, we'll move on. Public hearing, amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 1810.030, 1810.025, concerning tattoo parlors as a permitted use in certain zoning districts, and amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 1810.050, concerning home occupation uses. So I want to point out again, tonight's public hearing and this meeting is to hear citizen comment and consider proposed changes to these three municipal code sections concerning zoning and permitted uses. I remind everyone that in its deliberations and any action taken, the Planning Commission plays an advisory role to council. And I have noted that council has already docketed this same topic for its upcoming Tuesday regular council meeting. We will get to action tonight.
So it's the 18th?
Okay. So,
can I ask a clarifying question? So at that, is it just for them to review? No other public hearing? This is the public hearing.
This is the public hearing, however, they always ask for...
They ask for public comment. Okay.
Okay. So in regard to how we're going to proceed tonight, we've got, again, just a few procedural things I want to go through since it is a public hearing, and then we will get to public testimony. During the public comment period, Planning Commission members may pose questions. They'll generally do that to staff, but they may ask the public a question as well. When we complete the public portion, I'll summarize the hearing, and we'll close the hearing and move into deliberations. So first off, though, a few procedural things. So appearance of fairness qualifications. I know Jim in particular always loves when I get formal about these things.
Where to find you a tie and a jacket.
I appreciate that. Is there anyone here who objects to a Planning Commission member's participation in this hearing? Please so state and reasons for the objections.
None.
And then second, I'll ask of the commission members if they have any financial or personal interest in the affected property or issues. And if so, please state it and let us know what you're planning to do.
None.
And I have none. Jim, you're good. Okay. And finally, for commission members, place on the record any substance of any ex parte communication you may have had outside of the hearing with opponents or proponents of this matter.
So define ex parte.
It's outside of public forum.
So if it's been direct.
So if contacted by a city council person to have a conversation about that.
Read your statement again. Oh. So what we're asking here is that if a commission member had any ex parte communications outside of this hearing with opponents or proponents of this matter, that they should state that for the record, the substance of it.
I would think.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I was contacted by a city council member, and the member shared his perspective and view on what he thought we should put forth.
Okay. I guess I don't have an ability. Here's where we could use our first legal advice. I don't know if that constitutes substance.
It's matter of record and...
Yeah.
Okay. I think the question is, do you still feel you can unbiasedly...
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, thank you. Staff report. So, Jenna, to you for any updates or overview.
No, and as you know, I wasn't here for the last meeting, so... the packet you have, from my understanding, is exactly what you received before. Just, and you did not make any suggested edits or what have you, so none were made. So with that, my staff report is pretty short, because you heard it last meeting. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Okay.
So Jenna, I'll just state real quick, I apologize. I sent it to Mike and he forwarded my comments to Londi when I couldn't make the last meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if everybody saw them, but...
We did.
Yeah, yep. We did see those. Yep.
Yep.
I don't think they're in here, but they actually weren't
printed out for our packet, but...
Yeah. Yep.
I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there's also, we received, or at least I received, previously two other public inputs, one from Linda Braley, an email, and one from Sherwood Corsican.
And those are included here, right?
Yeah, and I think those are part of your packet. And then handed out to us tonight from Jennifer Hall.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have those written comments. Yeah. Bruce, welcome.
Awesome.
That's great. Motion fails for lack of. We are in a public hearing, and so at this time, let's open the for comment. I'm terrible with pronunciation.
Callie.
Yeah. Lacefield. Okay, Callie. If you state your address for the record, and then
319 East Third Street.
And feel free to get up or join us or however you want. We just want to make sure you're heard by the... It's a really good... But
it's easier to understand
how somebody remembers.
Yeah.
It's not quite as scary.
Yeah. Right? So I live at Third Street, and my husband and I have also recently started a home business, which is not a tattoo. It's screen printing, and so we're very familiar with the Third Street area neighborhood. We're totally in support of modifying the ordinance to allow a tattoo parlor in the neighborhood. We don't feel that it would be detrimental with noise or traffic or parking. it seems like the ordinance outlawing tattoos in the downtown area is kind of outdated, maybe. I mean, everybody, you know, tattoos are fairly mainstream. It's not, you know, biker gangs and hoodlums who have tattoos. It's, I mean, I have a tattoo, fairly normal. So we're very supportive.
Thank you so much. It's great.
So just for clarity, so when you say so supporting to have the tattoo parlor in the downtown corridor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you mention that there was also a change proposed for the home-based business? Is that to allow it as a home-based business, or is that I know there's a limitation on the amount of space that your home-based business can use. Is that
the proposed staff change would not allow it. It's essentially clarifying the underlying zoning. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Callie.
Travis, you signed in tonight. Did you want to speak on for the public hearing?
I appreciate being able to relay the message on the senior housing, and now I'll just
okay, great. And one other member of the public, did you wish to speak tonight?
No, I'm just here
to listen. Okay, all right. Okay, well, with no other members of the public here, that will conclude the public hearing on amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 1810.030 and 1810.025 concerning tattoo parlors as permitted uses in the zoning district, and 1810.050 concerning home occupation uses.
Can I ask you one question then?
Well, if it has to do with this, then I'll hold the public hearing. And yes, we do need to get your name and address for the record, and then we're happy to.
I'm David Herman.
Okay.
And I'm at 230 Ballarat Avenue.
Okay.
Just want to make sure I understood what you answered to her.
Sure.
That you're amending these rules to make it illegal.
Let me be very careful to say that the staff report that has come to the Planning Commission has proposed a change to clarify that a home-based business would not allow a tattoo parlor where if the underlying zoning did not allow. Jenna, am I saying that correctly?
Yes, and the staff report came from the interim ordinance that the City Council adopted as part of this issue. And so because it's an interim ordinance, City has to adopt regulations, permanent regulations, and this is that process.
This is for the ordinance you wrote, the 1482?
That was the one that was presented at the council meeting that I spoke at, yes.
Does that clarify?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Anything further during public hearing? Okay. Hearing is closed. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, deliberation and possible recommendation on the amendments as discussed in item number 4. So, commission members, and particularly those of you were here the last time, we had a little bit of conversation about how we wanted to proceed on this topic, And I've given it some thought, and I'm going to restate sort of the things that I heard and then ask how you would like to go forward. So we've got three different code sections to consider and make decisions on. And the staff report itself, there were a variety of comments, including my own, about the staff report. And so I think that is also in question. My gut kind of tells me that the place to start is with the underlying findings before we could know what direction we would be headed on zoning changes, but I'm absolutely open to thoughts and comments on how you want to proceed.
I agree that would be my preferred course.
Okay. Jim?
I agree.
Makes sense? Okay. All right. Great. Well, then I'd say let's open up to that section and take the findings one by one. Jenna, did you have anything you wanted to add, or are you content?
No, I am at this point, until you have a question, I think going through as you are is absolutely
okay.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks. Okay.
Actually, I'll just throw this in.
Yes.
I appreciate what we're going to do here, but I'm still trying to get in my head really clear. So we had a zoning code that applied to a particular property, which is involved in this particular application for a home-based business, right? Zoning, there was no overlay, it's straightforward zoning code.
The downtown commercial zone, the downtown commercial zone, DC, does not allow tattoo parlors as a permitted use.
Got it.
The situation you're talking about is when the tattoo parlor came in and wanted to do a home-based business, so a home occupation within the downtown commercial district.
Yep.
So the issue is when you have an underlying zone that does not permit the use, and a home occupation within the commercial zone is that particular use. That was the conflict. So the city council adopted the interim ordinance to clarify the intent, and yeah. So here we are today.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big part of me that, I mean, we weren't sitting in the room when it first came together how many months ago now.
Yeah.
It just strikes me it's not allowed by the zoning. And I get the creativity. Okay, I'll call it a home-based business. I get that thought process. It's like I can't do it in the envelope of getting a business permit. But I can do the business if I do it on my home base. That's kind of working it around the system. I get that. I'm wondering, though, listening to what everybody's heard this last meeting as well, I'm still struggling with, if it's not permitted, it's not permitted.
Well, the difference, I think, that's that this situation, the particular, I mean, we are dealing with a zoning amendment that will affect the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm trying not to be specific to any situation, but typically home occupations are in residential districts. And by the nature of the residential district, the commercial uses aren't allowed. So when you have a home within a commercial district, that's the difference. So you have a commercial use within a commercial district that is inherently prohibited as a commercial use within that commercial district. So the question was, well, if it's a home occupation, how is that treated? And so the council adopted the interim ordinance to deal with the issue.
So isn't part of what kind of got left this open question, so to speak, was that in the section on home-based businesses, it actually references several types of businesses that were not mm-hmm. allowed, right?
And it calls out specifically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which did not at the time include tattoo parlors. So fairly common assumption is that if it's not specifically being excluded, therefore it is permitted, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of brought this forward. And because we did not have any language that spoke to that if the underlying zoning didn't allow it,
mm-hmm.
right? So in regard to a home occupation business, that applies all residential?
Home occupations, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the downtown core, it's about
any
residential district. So mm-hmm. high, low, cottage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just have to meet that. Requirements of the home occupation standards.
Yes. Okay.
So another way to say it is, if we codify this, tattoo activity won't be able to be a home business in the city. That's saying the same thing.
Well, I think so.
One more time, I missed it.
If this goes through the process and is approved fully through council, then what we're really saying, in addition to this other particular focus, is that tattoo activity, business-wise, can't be done in a residential area in the entire city.
It can't be done as a home occupation.
Or however you want to call it.
Yeah, it can't be done as a home occupation based on the interim ordinance, which is the language you have in front of you. Yeah, that's what was adopted as the interim ordinance.
Yeah. Or as a business itself, standalone outside of home. Yeah.
Well, subject to the locations that ultimately are
right.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's one of the nuts that I'm certainly turning on, which is we're talking really about two different things: where allowable zones are, and then how home-based business might be impacted by that. So.
And that's an important
back to the other piece, which is if our zoning code is properly adopted,
right,
we wouldn't be having this conversation. But there must be, someone has said, hey, well, we got a weak link in the chain, let's fix it. And I think City Council saw that, so they quickly put this together to help solve the problem that they saw. And I'm kind of going, we're trying to fix a leak and maybe it shouldn't be there.
What you have in front of you is regardless of why it's here, what you have in front of you is the zoning regulations that would apply to all tattoo parlors. It applies, as Rob made a good distinction, you have a couple things you're looking at. You're looking at in 1810.030 that the use as a permitted commercial use. So the first issue at hand is where in your zones do you feel this is an appropriate use in your commercial, in all your zones, obviously. You can make recommendations as you need. So then the next question at hand is the performance standards for home occupations. And that's the home occupation versus the first question, which is the tattoo parlor just as a standalone commercial use and what zone that is appropriate in or fits in or, you know, whatever.
Right. So in parsing those apart, I think what council's come to us with is essentially they're you know, again, to me it sort of falls into three pieces. One is in our previous meeting there seemed to be a general openness to that. Hey, we're missing a phrase here, which is just the notion that if it's not allowed in the underlying use, then it shouldn't be allowed, and that's seemed like a fairly straightforward. That's a miss,
that's what I'm
and
saying.
Should have been clear, right?
Yeah.
But then beyond that is the current zoning is for just commercial uses is EP2, and the city has proposed. Hello.
Hey, Ryan.
Proposed to change that zoning from EP2 to
Internet
IC and IMU, right? So that's a different thing, right? It's not just clarifying that the use can't happen in a zone already. That's not about the home base. That's about where in our zoning it's allowed at all. So that we've been asked for that change. So they're rather different to me.
So is the better way to look at it is to look at the performance standards and make sure that it's very clear that you're allowed to do a home occupation business that complies to whatever the underlying zone is and leave it at that, as opposed to, which is the wording that is in, well, it's kind of sort of an I of 1810.050, you exclude them within all commercial zones. It's basically saying no home occupation business will be issued for a use that is otherwise permitted in the underlying zone. Period, end of story, instead of having all this other, this is what's excluded, which is in B.
The reason why it says within all commercial zones is because any business in a residential zone does not meet the underlying zoning. So you have to, the only reason we have a conflict of this or a confusion in this issue is you have a commercial zone and a resident in a commercial zone. So if you take that away.
But no, because if you're saying, so you're saying that in a residential, if you wanted to have a export business, because that's not allowed in a residential.
If you wanted to do, exporting might not be, because that could be done in a number of different ways, but if you wanted to do manufacturing of widgets, and that was loud, and loud, noisy, and it wasn't allowed in a
residential,
in the commercial district that your home was in, then this, I would not allow it as a home occupation either.
Okay.
Is there a comment for the public?
Yeah.
So, am I hearing that what you're trying to get us to is just the simple, we want to make sure that the home business license has the right wording, but without the exclusions, because the exclude, and then leave the zoning part to specify what's allowed and not allowed.
Yeah, I think if the zoning, dictates the functionality of the land, right? And if our zoning code doesn't allow a particular function, just because you call it a house or because you live there shouldn't allow you to just circumvent the whole zone code.
So the word in I kind of sums that up.
I think so. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where some of this. And I'll overlay some more energy to say that if you read through what council is suggesting in items summary findings 1 through 12, holy crap.
Well, no, summary
that's
findings.
A whole different discussion.
I didn't find any of that, but I'll take somebody
that's
else's word for it.
That's a different conversation.
But that's what we're being asked to sign off on.
Yeah.
And I understand the why. That's been explained. But it's like we are just dancing around with balloons on two toes. Sorry for the picture.
Well,
can you draw something for us?
No. They're both blue, by the way.
Go ahead.
Well, to help kind of point you guys maybe in the direction that you need to go is the findings of fact are what got the council to their decision.
Yep.
So that's informational for you. What you're here to do is
I'll say from my perspective, it's not informational because it actually leads off with the Planning Commission finds that.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I specifically, and I'm ready to go on the record right now, find most of the findings. No, I can't agree to those.
What I mean by this, let me clarify. You'll see that the findings were provided from the City Council Ordinance 1489, which is was adopted, blah, 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 okay?
So I'm starting right here, Jenna.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, the Planning Commission finds that. Number three, the Planning Commission finds that. Number four, the Planning Commission finds that. So this is not really council's statement.
So
this would be the Planning Commission's statement.
What I was saying was so we give you findings based on what have you
Sure.
In the end, if you don't agree, if the Planning Commission doesn't agree with findings of fact, this is a starting point staff report for you to deliberate on.
Yeah.
So in the end, what you send up to council is your document, not what you know. So.
Yeah. Agreed, which is why I was suggesting that we may need to, and we could go either way, but I was suggesting that we may need to start with findings versus the code, but we could go to the code and then discuss what do our findings really mean about that.
Right.
But go ahead, Bruce.
We can cancel or
strike
all of these out, and then they could turn around and take ours and adopt these right back in under there.
Absolutely.
Right, we're concerned about
every day.
They could.
Yep. Every day.
Yep.
That's just what I well, and again, that is,
so, if we're uncomfortable with this, yes, then you can, we can make our own recommendation, exactly, and add to it.
So this is, I'm just going to say what I think is very simple. Wonder why it won't work. If there was a modification, amendment, or otherwise to the zoning across the land, the zoning code said, if a use is requested through a conditional use permit, some language like that, mm-hmm, that doesn't, which is not permitted under the primary zoning code of that particular property, mm-hmm, then something else shall happen. You follow where I'm going with this? Because this is like a stopgap that's over the charts. It's kind of like we're, the zoning code doesn't allow this use. It's not, mm-hmm, allowed in the area that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But because somebody's made an application for home-based business, we're having to deal with it. Yet the zoning code doesn't allow, so we're keep going back and forth.
It doesn't exclude it. Is that correct?
As a home occupation? The home occupation regulations did not include, it did not prohibit tattoo parlors. The language in this does. Okay? So I think what you guys might want, I don't know, in my mind, where you would want to start tonight is first dealing with 1810.030 and just deciding, you know, where in the city zones do you feel this use is appropriate? And then from there, articulate why you feel, mm-hmm, that way. The why is your findings.
Yep.
So, because this is a totally different topic in the home occupation. So
absolutely,
it's almost like let's separate those.
Yep. Steel, that's what I think we were trying to get to last week. Yeah. Last time.
Yeah. And
we just keep it there.
Yeah. And I think that does kind of get to the heart of it. And I think within that then brings forward certain questions that we've raised. It brings forward the public comments written and spoken that we've received, and gives us an opportunity to, you know, kind of give our own thoughts on the way we see it. So, Gary?
I'll be happy to go first on 2.3.7, which is the permitted uses.
You need to catch a few dots, man.
You're right there on that chart.
It's the chart. It's the table of permitted uses.
So we have to cross out EP2. And what is, if you can tell me, USOD? Is that
it's the, USOD.
Which overlay district? That's the one out at the freeway.
Oh, that's the urban separator overlay district. That is actually over by Meadowbrook Farm.
So that's all of the piece up here on top.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where it is? Very good. Okay.
All right. So that one.
So it's
all of this.
Yep, all of that. The hash
red. If you can see
the hash
red. So it's from the river towards Snoqualmie, basically, mm-hmm, and includes Holgate Park.
Okay.
On the other side of the river.
So I'm having the inclination for high density residential, North Bend, downtown commercial, EP1 and EP2 to make it a permitted use.
So say it again. High
NB,
density.
DC,
North
IC,
IMU. Yeah, well, it's currently IC and IMU, mm-hmm, and then to add EP1 and keep
EP2. And to keep EP2.
Okay.
And did I hear also HDR? High density residential.
Yes. HDR.
I did hear that.
Oh, you did
hear. Yep. HDR.
To include it.
Mm-hmm.
High density residential.
Okay.
So the reason why I would feel that way is because understanding that I think about 37-38% of the population under 40 has a tattoo. Our median age for the city is 38, and that would be the majority of that population is going to have a tattoo at one of every three people. I think that a tattoo person in this day is considered an artist. When somebody gets one, they're defining who they are as a person. they're defining something special about their interests or they're dedicating it to somebody important to them. Now, no longer is this a gang affiliation thing. When they do this, they seek out an artist, and I thought we were an artist-friendly community. And I think by no longer could we disallow some kind of an artist to come into our city and to practice their art, whether it be at their home or in a commercial setting. And so then I have to say that whether you're a licensed tattoo parlor or body piercer or someone else, you have to apply to the state codes. You have procedures that you must practice for gloved up, non-intoxicated people. You have to dispose of needles properly. I can't see why they would pose any health risk to a community either. So I'm going to have to really not understand why I would go against the majority of the residents of the city, nor against what I find in the state code for a safe use of a facility.
So Gary, just as a clarifying factor, so I'll assume, or is it good to assume that within these ones that you suggested that there would be appropriate, as Lindy had put it back, so some jurisdictions impose setbacks for incompatible uses such as daycare centers and schools. So allowing these uses with appropriate setbacks or other
excluded areas,
things that we can put in place to say, not near a school, within 100 feet of this or that or the other thing. Okay.
I'm curious. I generally support the notion of some setbacks, but from the statements, particularly that you're saying, Gary, and I'm generally nodding yes, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. In some sense, I almost struggle, but so what's the setback from a school? We don't separate a medical facility from a school. I'm not saying I wouldn't be interested in going along with that, but it occurs to me that I've never thought of it in terms of, well, what is it, why is it that I would say it needs to be set back from something else?
So I think for me it would be because we have a setback for things that are adult oriented, and so you know, check cashing, I don't think you can go into a check cashing thing as this 15 or 16 year old put a check in front of somebody, or into an adult bookstore or whatever those other things. I mean, even I think an ear piercing place, you have to have adult consent approval to do that. So I think that's what would keep me
so a separation for an adult oriented use.
Yes.
Same as you would for alcohol serving establishment.
Correct.
Or anything else,
yep.
Right?
Yep. So you wouldn't want a bar right next to the to a school.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think it's
the
18 year old adult.
Sorry, yeah, and I appreciate it, but I have to ask. We have to keep the deliberations now to the commission members. Sorry.
So I believe WAC specifies is a certain distance too, and the fact that they have to be 18 years old or older without parental consent.
Yeah,
That's what so I read. Think that's why the foot boundary is applied most of the time to this type of business.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just throw Jim? In here. Gary, that was well said, by the way.
Yes.
And I don't have any, with your comments on which zones it should apply, 90% of what you said on the zoning, certainly through moving from left to right on the same chart, DC through EP2, logical to me says that makes no problem. When you start moving into a place where there's a neighbor, regardless of their zone, I kind of have to focus and imagine myself in that position and think, I live next door to whatever this is, whatever the business is. I don't care what they do until I have five cars parked in front of my house, or I have somebody moving every 30 minutes, or they're there at 2 in the morning, or, you know, there's a fight in the front yard, or I don't, you know, I have neighbors, do your own thing. That's the story, right? You can live next to somebody. So to that point, even particularly high density residential, and help me with the North Bend NB zone.
The neighborhood business.
I'm just thinking what that looks like in our city. Most of those are old houses next to each other.
Well, it's actually a lot of that big chunk of down North Bend Way that we've been talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, unless it's facing North Bend Way, it's residential 1920s house. So for that reason, I would back off a little bit in my perspective.
I think I'm in 100% agreement with you, definitely on the HDR. I could probably be swayed one way or the other with NB, but agree that the in the house area is residential. So HDR and NB, and HDR definitely, NB I'm on the cusp, but would agree.
So our one of our objectives here to kind of move forward in some decision is to say this is where it should be able to go, this particular use. So if we can get to the answer to that question as a group, perhaps we will have served the council as they wished. At least get that part handed. Because if you start getting into this other piece,
I think that's...
I think we've come 50% of the way, I think, just in the current discussion already. Bruce, what are you...
I'm kind of on Gary's side. The only thing I have about high-density residential, you already have a high impact on traffic. Then you're going to add throw a business use in there, too. It's going to compound the issue.
Checked. High density residential is like just treated like our other residential zones and does not have residential or commercial uses associated with it, because I was looking down the list to see if I could pinpoint.
I was thinking the same thing.
Commercial uses. So in your residential, which is your LDR, your cottage housing, and your HDR zone, there aren't other commercial uses allowed. But there is, obviously, in NB, DC, IC, IMU, EP1, and EP2.
Can I ask a question for staff? So in that business license, is there anything about number of employees?
Because I think there actually is for home business.
Mm-hmm.
It's very specific for home business. I think it's like you and one or two max.
There's parking restrictions. Yeah. There's business hour restrictions, right? There's percentage of the home restrictions.
Yes.
You know the reason why I'm asking, because if it's the one artist, he can do one customer at a time, and you're not going to have in and out customers.
So
you might have a drop in, look at his book.
Well, I guess I agree with you, but kind of in where Piper was going and some of the comments, I guess I'm wondering. I definitely support DC and NB. Makes sense to me. I actually came in thinking I don't know why we would put that in an industrial zone. Doesn't make sense to me.
Warehouse?
Yeah.
Warehouse environment?
Yeah.
See that going next to the skateboard park.
Well, I guess my perspective and Jim, it's interesting. Maybe this is where you've rubbed off on me is over the years of thinking about retail businesses in particular and a small business owner and a small business or owner occupied business, whichever they may be. And our need to support them in any way we can, and to the greatest extent reasonable, to make accommodation and availability to them, and not put too much restriction on them in location. I particularly am concerned with their ability to compete against big box and against chains and such. And as I think of residential or of retail-oriented uses, and I don't know if it's, I don't know if tattoo classifies as retail or service-oriented, but in either sense, it feels to me like a very compatible use with the downtown core in many respects more so than I think it does for the higher commercial area out at the freeway. I wouldn't want to restrict it from going in out there, but I guess one of the things that I've got an image of is between the time that council took its first ordinance action and we took it up, I had the good fortune to be in Hawaii, and I was in Lahaina. Gorgeous little community full of museums and high-end art stores, you know, some amazing artwork and restaurants and just everything you could imagine of good, vibrant community, and just packed. And yes, it is a very tourist-oriented, you know, locale, but here was all this vibrant retail action going on, and right in the heart of it was a tattoo parlor. And so I had that on my mind, and I thought, doesn't look like a problem to me. It looks like it's thriving right alongside of all these other businesses. And so that's been a little bit of my perspective as I've been trying to think this through. And again, so I'm coming very much from the perspective of retail-oriented businesses. Where are they well-suited within our town? And that's what took me to industrial. It didn't make sense to me. I think that was an error when it was originally put in. This to me feels like a correction to get it into IC and IMU, and I do believe that DC and NB make sense. I don't know that I'm comfortable with bringing more retail-oriented business into, you know, the residential areas. I am sympathetic to that distinction. I guess I could be persuaded, but I haven't been yet.
So run this out for a second. So let's say that the overlay, I'm sorry, the code allows it in NB. Mm-hmm. It happens to, we put the P in there a long time ago and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Applicant comes in for a business permit, right?
Home business, yeah?
I don't know.
Business
permit. There's no concern about home business
Okay.
yet.
Yep.
Because it's allowed in the zone.
Yep.
Permit goes through. What happens next? I mean, I'm just imagining a setting. What happens?
You're saying if somebody came in to open up a business that was an allowed use, came in for the business license, we issued the business license, what would happen after that?
Well, just because this...
You're
this
saying review concept, prior to issuance?
I apologize for making this long. I'm just trying to imagine a world where this is actually how it is. Because what it is right now is we say, no, can't be there because the zone doesn't allow it. If the zone says it's allowed, what does that look like to the neighbors who happen to have a house next door? To the business that thinks it's not compatible next door? How does that work?
Because we have business design standards, and so would those help make sure that this is something that kind of fits in and...
I'd back up from there, and I'd say, first off, we've already declared these areas, zoning-wise, to be commercial in nature, more so than residential in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we do recognize that there are a lot of residents still within that commercial zoning, and in fact, we like that mix of uses. But to me, we've already said, commercial, a business within this zone is allowed and in fact preferred versus in a residential zone. So that's the first place that I start. Now the second one is, though, stepping it down to what are the permitted uses within it, and are there any restrictions on the on how that particular use is employed. And that's where we get to setbacks from specific uses or other things, which again, if we were to go this way, one of the things that I would be suggesting is that we want to see from staff some recommendations for what that might look like before we would make any final decisions.
Part of the reason I'm asking, as you kind of touched on, is if we work through this, you know, no harm, no foul on EP1, EP2. Okay, great. Now, that seems like it doesn't quite fit, but if somebody wants to run a business there, we're not going to say a word. As you start moving back in closer to where people live, it starts to get a little fuzzy. If you try to interpret the concept, right?
And can I ask, just to clarify, are you talking business in general or this specific use?
Any business.
Well, keep in mind, though, like in the districts where you allow commercial and residential, like the downtown, when you go through the list of permitted commercial uses, you've been identifying uses that were allowed that would be somewhat compatible with residential. So, for example, things that are not allowed in the DC that are allowed elsewhere is auto-oriented. So because your downtown has integrated residential and commercial, the intent of putting the P's in the chart where they belong is to identify uses that don't do what you just described. So, you wouldn't necessarily, like right now the gas stations in downtown are what we call legal non-conforming because a new gas station couldn't go in. Mm-hmm. And that is because you're trying to identify those uses that potentially could. Now, whether this is one of those is not, is the question you have to deal with on where to put the P in the chart.
I've never agreed with that one, by the way.
So
since you opened it up.
I'm just the messenger.
Well, I guess, Jim, but if I could just for a moment, so when you're talking about those industrial, again, I came in feeling like it doesn't feel right for industrial, so I'm looking at, well, what is allowed in industrial? And it's industrial, right? It's manufacturing, it's warehousing, it's welding, it's recycling plants, rubber products,
So if I could just throw this one more piece out that I'm noodling, that I think the piece that rubs me wrong the most is the process that we've been asked to deal with doesn't make sense. The zoning code says you can't do this. The concept of a home-based business leaves an opening for it to happen anyway. That's the first blush, but if part of our tasking, as I come back to this, is to say, okay, let's be clear about where can this kind of business go? Mm-hmm. I have no problem with most of our graph here, except for the places where this home piece gets into conversation.
And that's our next.
Any kind of business, if it's open to the public, is a different use than the stereotypical 8-to-5 home life with a family next door, where the kids are out in the yard after school, da da da. You can do that, whatever you want to do in your head, what that means to you. But when you put business next to it and adjacent to that, it changes the game for both parties. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're here to make go smoothly. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's our job to offer areas for businesses to open and to not form an opinion or to select something because we feel that something wouldn't be successful because they're in an industrial, that it doesn't really quite feel right to be with something else. Like, to me, business guys should be making that decision. We should give them, put the options on the table. They make the business decision that I think I can be successful here because there's more cars or less cars or I can have the right building or facade that is going to help facilitate me selling my service or my business.
I absolutely understand what you're suggesting, and I agree with it on a high-level basis. But one of the fundamentals of planning and our responsibility and why there's zoning to begin with is to say that, well, in trying to build that supportive, vibrant community, there are better uses to target, which, you know, so not allowing commercial in the heart of a residential, you know, neighborhood, or not allowing a cement plant to go into the downtown, or so there are some fundamental reasons why we would why we would do that. But I mean, I get it, and if the majority feels that including this particular use in the EP zones, I guess I'm willing to be outvoted on it. It didn't feel right to me, because again, because I'm just going back to a general retail versus industrial basis. Not it's nothing to do with the tattoo parlor. Couldn't care less whether it was there or not in that regard. But it's not the type of business that we're supposed to be targeting for our industrial area. Bruce.
So looking at the map, the NB zone butts up several places where E1 and 2 are located. So that still gives them the opportunity to be within proximity. Not necessarily right in the middle of the zone of EP2, but adjacent to.
Right.
So.
But also it's like, especially, so in the primary corridor, it's across the street from a cottage.
So essentially, I'll go to colors, right? Is so from what from Gary's proposal, it would be everything that's blue, except for that which is north and west of the river, of the South Fork, right? The which is that overlay district, right? So it would be, as you're saying, it would be out North Bend Way, adjacent to the EP zones. It would be allowed within kind of the crossroads of Mount Si Road, as well as in the downtown area. So,
point of reference, our chart colorizes the street frontage, DC zone. Anyone who wanted to have a retail operation facing the main street, it's already set up in DC. Just as perspective of where somebody might choose to put a business that has an
because you have a street. Awesome point.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I can see your point for the EP1 and 2.
Okay. I think
you know, as limited industrial spaces as we have, and where we have more retail opportunities, I think also from a land use perspective.
Yeah, that's particularly where my thinking is.
Now let me throw in this, because I appreciate your giving in, but I'll say, I give in. And here's why. It's this market concept, right? If a property owner who lives in or owns property in EP1, EP2 wants to lease a space to a tattoo proprietor who believes that's the best use for his funds, I don't see the downside in the structure of our document to say they shouldn't be able to come to that agreement.
Why would you only go there for this particular use? Why not then open it up to?
I'm happy to.
Yeah. See, and that's where I really break, is that I just think that's just a fundamental flaw in our ability to overall manage.
Because then you have to revisit everything that's a permitted use under that, or that's not, to say, oh, we'll allow that now.
Well, well, let me put it, taking to its logical conclusions, why would you then not allow it right on through low density and cottage?
Well, that goes back to my residential
piece. But the landowner, Jim.
Well, the neighbor doesn't have that conversation.
The landowner.
I think cottage would be perfect, but then you don't have enough space inside to really live and do your business.
Yeah, so I did want to ask more about that, Gary. Why high density and not the others? What you always get very sound reasoning on. So
I am leaning on high density, but I thought it might make sense because that's in a mixed-use kind of area, and so I thought that in a blended situation, he might find a good place to have a home-based business in that respect. And where I think if we permitted something that was the artist and an assistant or second as a maximum for that home business use, then it would be ensuring a low traffic volume. So.
I see what you're saying.
So HDR chiropractic, dentist, tattoo,
which is
veterinarian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All those things seem to fit.
Yep.
In
which is
HDR?
What?
HDR?
In HDR, which if you look at like what we did with the that special, the overlay for the chiropractic thing, I mean.
Yeah. Well, which again would bring me back to, if you recall, when that docket item came up, one of my highest concerns is that we end up pushing out the opportunity for actual high-density residential,
yeah.
which we desperately need,
mm-hmm.
because the higher and best use mm-hmm. is indeed a commercial one, mm-hmm. right? And so if we turn every one of our high-density parcels open to mm-hmm. commercial use, we will not have a place for the people that want to work in those businesses to live.
Mm-hmm.
so hence why I'm I would again. So I guess I'm objecting to both ends of the chart.
I would say
commercial's commercial, and that's where it belongs.
I hope that the staff will ensure that next year, when we discuss the zoning for the entire city, that we might have an opportunity to create more HDR zones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly be one of my interests.
Park Street conversation.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did.
Push it out.
Yeah.
The way it is right now, we could support if we put some industrial in, because there's no housing for those workers.
Which is one of the things that we heard at that meeting where we discussed, you know, those matters was, hey guys, you need a place for folks to live.
Yep.
Okay.
So is it realistic that we think we could come to an agreement of what we think based on Gary's proposal?
What do you propose, Tyler? What do you propose?
So I think that I would propose that we allow it in all of the, so on the top we have residential, commercial, industrial, public. I would propose allowing them in all of the commercial zones, exclusive of that USOD one, because I don't see how that, I agree. It's a, at the park, I don't get, but yeah, so exclusive of that. That would be my proposal.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is dropping from Gary's suggestion to take it out of the HDR, take
yep.
it out of the EP zones.
Yep. That would be my proposal.
NBDC, IC, IMU. Mm-hmm. Four commercial zones, permitted use for tattoo parlors.
So moved.
Is that, okay, got a motion.
Second.
Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I will vote tonight.
Okay, so.
So Jim motion, Bruce seconded. All five voted aye on 1810-030 changes. Excellent.
To summary, we've added two and deleted one.
Correct.
So
we took council's recommendation to drop it from EP2.
Mm-hmm.
We took their recommendation for adding it to IC and IMU, and we added NB and DC to that.
Okay, so motion by Jim, seconded by Bruce, mm-hmm. to allow tattoo and body piercings in the DC, IC, IMU, and NB.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
One down.
All right.
Excellent suggestion. That takes us to 1810-025 special districts. This has to do with the performance standards around home occupations.
Wait, let me clarify.
Wait, yeah. So this is.
There's an 1810-025.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Which is a special
before
district.
Before we get to the. Right.
And are you up to speed on what the special district is?
So can you...
East North Bend Master Plan District is the district that is in the green down there on the EP2 zone.
Okay. Yeah.
So all that green area,
mm-hmm.
that was...
Yeah.
Except for four lots.
Yep.
Yeah. So in...
Well, this would be just cleanup consistent with
yep.
our previous
with
vote,
what we just,
right?
Yeah.
Can I cut to the chase? So essentially, I believe based on what we accepted as the zoning in 030, that the staff report for 025 is what we would want, striking tattoo parlor.
Yep.
From the employment part.
Yep.
Can I have a motion to that effect?
A motion that they would strike tattoo parlor and accept the rest of 10-2.
A second?
Second.
Question? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. So that is to amend North Bend Municipal Code 1810-025 special districts to strike tattoo parlor from an allowable use. Okay.
I'm sorry, I was writing, so who made the motion?
Bruce motioned, okay. Jim seconded.
I'm not used to keeping this.
So with, let me just make a clarifying thing here. So in the 1810-025C3D3i,
mm-hmm.
Except the following uses are prohibited, and we marked out tattoo parlor.
Oh.
That's yeah. Not right. That's in conflict of what the above thing actually says, right?
Well, no, the reason why that was in there before is because tattoo parlors were allowed in the EP.
Yep.
And so...
But see, now we're saying that we're prohibiting, okay. So that needs to be...
No, now you're saying, now what this would say
the
is...
The words go away. They don't exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So what you
because
say
it's not allowed in our little table,
yep.
Then you don't have to exclude it exclusively. Exclude
exactly.
It because okay.
Yeah. Just want to make sure. It does seem backwards.
It's a double.
Stop.
Good catch, though.
It is. It is a very good question because it does read a little oxymoron.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
More
well, thank you for
catch.
Thank you for backing me up on what 25 was. All right.
All right.
That moves 50. Us down now to 050, performance standards. So this is where the home occupations come in. A little bit of questions. So this one brings in both some new language, not only about tattoo parlors, but other. It more readily defines what a business license covers. And is, and then at the end is adding the clarifying language that if it's not allowed in the underlying zone, that it would not be permitted in a home occupation. Question to staff,
yes.
If I may.
Sure.
Most of the language in B feels to me as like what got us into trouble to begin with.
In B specifically,
yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and I get why in thinking about that a home occupation business is in residential areas as well as the commercial. I totally understand why we may need some language around that. But it's one of those areas that always runs us into what about and you forgot and you know. Similar to what brought this to us was because tattoo parlor wasn't specifically mentioned, therefore it was an assumed use. Do you see any way around the naming of uses? Is there?
So does it come into play when you start talking about home occupation business licenses and residential?
Well, I guess my question is if it's a permitted use in the table, mm-hmm. doesn't that cover it? Why do
it
we want to restate
why
it?
Why restate it? Yeah.
Well, these are the ones that are prohibited as home occupations versus the table, which is commercial uses prohibited.
So, are you saying that you couldn't have an automobile related services, Rexall merchandise on the premises?
That's what it says. Home occupation business shall not be granted in any case for auto related services. And you know, part of that.
So to flip it around, mm-hmm. If I lived in a residential area, and this wording's in here, I would not be able to sell any merchandise. Meaning, if I sold jewelry. Would I not be able to do that because it's just not allowed in residential, which seems really kind of
I'm going to come at it kind of from the other direction. I mean, in our table, in with permitted uses in residential does include such things as family daycare, child daycare, mm-hmm. bed and breakfast, boarding houses, and I'm kind of wondering, and I haven't found yet. I was looking for things like, you know, accountant, lawyer. I'm wondering what's is there a better way to get at?
What about dog kennel?
Well, that's that. No, that's regulated by the animal control and Title 21 of the King County Code. But in residential districts, unless it has a P in the chart, which there's really no commercial uses that are allowed in residential districts except for, you said, daycares are allowed, then it has to be a home occupation. In a home occupation, the regulations are intended to help address the fact that the home is the primary use and the occupation is the ancillary to where you live. You're doing business out of your home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's take automotive services, automotive-related services. You know, this has been an issue in many, many cities where, you know, a guy, you know, opens up an automotive repair shop and, you know, might have one car when he starts out, and then it grows, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, there's 15 or so cars parked. And then, you know, the neighbors start getting frustrated. So the intent of identifying some uses are just like your table of use chart. There's no way we're going to list all the uses that are in a city. It comes up every day where we're like, what we do is we go to the most like. But in this scenario, what has been the approach is, well, what do we think we need to address that wouldn't be appropriate for homes? And the ones that you had before were the ones that the council adopted. And then this brought up adding those, the tattoo and the other couple uses. So your questions are good. Direct sales of merchandise on the premises is, I think there you could definitely go into your question, clarify, is that the eBay business where somebody's buying and selling stuff out of their home? Because what the intent is not to have, a retail business where you have just traffic all day long of people shopping at the house.
And then I'm reading, and manufacturing that involves the conversion of raw materials. What if I do beer in my garage?
As long as nobody comes
just
to get
saying.
It.
You
got a microburger dog?
Well, cheese. Conversion of raw materials is cheese. Very broad.
I mean, that's like, whoa! I am growing vegetables in the backyard and making vegetable stir fry and packaging it up and taking it to work and giving it.
Sorry. But not as a business. You have to be selling it, right?
Somebody's coming to buy goods from you.
Right,
we've got the interplay. So, I mean, part of me says, well, isn't this mostly controlled by the rest of the section, which mm-hmm. is putting limits on fire codes and the number of
people
and the number of parking and deliveries per day and those things, but I do get and have
impacts
understanding that there could be some specific uses which we do not believe are appropriate, and I'm certainly focused now on the residential, not the commercial zoning, that wouldn't be appropriate in a residential neighborhood. People would be uncomfortable with. That list could be long.
It could be huge, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, Jenna, what you're saying is, well, it could be, but these are the ones that have been over time brought forward.
These are the ones, I'm trying to remember when. I know in 7 years, I have not, this is the first time home occupations have gone to the Planning Commission. So this list is definitely
It's been there
older.
For a long time.
Yeah. You know, to address, there's, for your, like your brewing example, you know, that would be a, you know, where you have a follow-up, you know, that's where you can get dialed in on the follow-up and stuff.
Yeah, which is what...
But that becomes difficult, too, because you'll never be able to pinpoint.
Well, and it opens up that whole can of worms again. So, you know, because council chose to toss medical marijuana into here, which is yet to be fully fleshed out by the state, and we bring up the idea of, well, what about a home brewery that is small enough to conform with all the rest of this? Why is selling alcohol, which frankly I feel is a much greater public health threat than marijuana, why would that be allowed and not? I don't get it.
Well, in theory, the manufacturing that involves the conversion of raw materials, if somebody came in for a home occupation based on that that their strict read of the code would be, it would not allow that. Because you're taking a raw material and making...
So then why would we need to mention medical marijuana?
So I guess that's... So my question is...
Because that was... Potentially they're not... They might just be selling it. They might not be growing it, converting it. I don't know.
There's liquefied and then there's pill form.
Oh.
Is medical use mainly.
Yeah.
So would it feel better if we just struck out all this new text? Because I think last time when we talked, I actually made a comment about how I felt like the medical marijuana piece of this, once we have lifted the moratorium on what we are going to do in the city, I feel like we're going to have a whole section that addresses it, and I'm quite sure that we'll have something in there that talks about home occupation business license. And to me, it feels like take it out of here, take out the tattoo thing here, deal with it when we get to, because today you're not going to allow this anyways. So to me, it doesn't need to be here until we decide overall
like
of what.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not right.
So would you like to move to strike?
I would like to move to strike that whole medical marijuana collective gardens through to the end of body piercings.
Second.
All right. So on in municipal code section 050 performance standards, section 1.53 home occupations, item B, motion by Piper, second by Gary, to strike the inserted language beginning medical marijuana, continuous through provision of body piercings. Further comment, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I voted yes as well. Okay. Let's move back up in section B then to the first sentence. Home occupation inserted language business license shall not be granted in any case for, and then it's specifically talking about the automotive related services, direct sale, etc., that were already part of this section.
Quick question for staff. Does adjacent include above? Include above. Adjacent to me seems sideways, and I would like to also include the option for above if you have a more vertical structure.
Yep.
So I'll make the motion to insert.
I'm sorry, Gary.
Okay. I'm still right
where you
where
go there. Yeah, I'm not sure where you are either.
Wait for Jenna to catch up.
What section are you in?
I am in, it's section 1.53, it is letter J.
Oh, you're on J.
I'm trying to get to B if we're okay with the language still in B.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know that we need necessarily even at this time a motion unless there's a change to the language that's being proposed.
I was going to.
In item B?
No, he's in J.
Yeah, so I just want to be sure, does the rest of the language in item B, which is really just adding some clarification on the granting of the business license, does that still make sense having struck the other proposed language?
In any case, sounds really harsh, but I think I'm okay with it.
It's clear.
Super clear. In any case, not allowed.
There's not a but.
Poor
I believe
child.
That was our cheers.
So, and I'm fine with that. I think the only change would be the or that is struck needs to come back. Because the sentence is now ending after raw materials.
Or, yep, kind of add that back. Okay. Yep. Agreed.
So I believe the language would now read, a home occupation business license shall not be granted in any case for automobile-related services, direct sale of merchandise on the premises, warehousing of materials, or manufacturing that involves the conversion of raw materials.
Period.
Period. Can I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Jim, second by Gary. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
So let me...
Go ahead.
Before we get too far out of that, it just the way this reads, home occupation, we could cover this ground one more time, one more way, if the wording included the word services, perhaps following the sale of merchandise or services kind of thing. Just throw that out for future reference, maybe. But that would cover our current topic as well. If you're selling services.
But it would, there are somebody doing hair and out of their house is a service, or.
Or daycare is even considered a service.
Well, again, I think that's where it brings in the whole question of what is.
Yeah.
Is it, it's okay to have chemicals in a beauty parlor, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's a can of worms, guys.
I got Cadillac parked up front because I sell Avon.
Rob, right? Can I make a clarification?
Yeah.
The last motion you made was just to add the or back and the period.
Yes.
Okay. We accepted the rest of the proposed language.
But oh.
We added the. That's why I went to an emotion, because we changed the proposed language.
Okay. So tell me again who moved and seconded.
Jim motioned. Gary seconded.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll try and get you up to speed.
Hey, we're moving a little faster than Norm, I know, as far as
well, you know, Mike always moves so much faster.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not very nice.
This is why I'm
so not nice.
Okay. That's why she didn't speak to me during
the
week.
Four-voted items. So I don't know what's going on.
What is happening?
Okay, Gary. Gary, I apologize. You wanted to go to item
J.
I'll
stay with D for just one more second.
Oh, back to B.
Just curious why there's an acronym here for SFDDS. DDS.
SF. Oh, yeah.
Where are you?
Top of.
Where are you?
Next page. Intermarital size SF, single family. Domestic dwellings.
We don't do that in other places. I just caught my attention.
Can we have it spelled out?
Can you spell that out for us,
break
please?
It out for the single slow motion of the group, please.
I'm still writing your motion. These have to be nice.
It's not recorded.
That's why I'm reading it very
carefully.
No, I have to. I need to. And I'm going to.
Okay.
Because of the time frame between two
scenes,
there's a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just being more
She's
diligent.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So we're now at DDDES, Tucker.
S.
S.
Top of the page.
Yes.
SFDDS. Please spell it out for us. Do you know what it is?
Let me think of a paper.
Domicile or some other.
Go up. Yep.
It's found in appendix subchapter X373.0453.
Single-family domestic dwellings.
That was my guess.
I think it's a misprint.
Yeah.
That's my vote. Because I can't tell you what a DD is.
We can all guess.
It's a dedicated dwelling.
What'd you say?
Dedicated dwelling.
Dedicated dwelling. Single family dedicated dwelling as opposed
to... I don't know if that's the intent.
Okay.
I think it's supposed to be an AD. ADU.
I think so too.
You think it's supposed to be what?
I think it's referencing ADUs. But it's just a terminology that I don't know.
So I'll clarify what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we on to J yet, or did you have a...
No, that's Juliet.
On to Juliet.
H. I don't have a J.
You don't?
Very blue. Special.
Oh, you must have ears.
So did it change? I'm looking at last.
This is.
Which I was told had not changed.
It has changed.
Well, actually, J is red.
We talked about this song.
J is red.
Okay.
You did. Okay, I'm not, okay.
We brought it.
We did.
What's her name?
Laundry.
No. Jean Patterson.
Yes, she brought up that there is a requirement for home signs have to be at or adjacent to the door, and those larger than 2 square feet.
I thought it was covered in design standards.
Isn't that covered in the sign code?
It's in the sign code.
And a business license.
This is.
Which code is the sign?
Which section?
I feel so old.
18.
The battle of referencing municipal code on your phone.
I know. Well, you know, I have requested that.
Well, if I'm going to make a motion, I don't want to go against what the law.
No. What we did is we took exactly the language from the sign code, which really actually needs to be amended and updated in its own right. But that's
a whole other conversation.
That's perfect. I think you just made the point that I would bring up. If this is already in the sign code, I think it is an error to add it here, where we then have duplication and we will miss it the next time around.
Hear, hear. I agree.
So.
The sign code speaks about what a sign is, shape, size, function, etc. Does it say you have to have a sign?
No. Here's why it's included. When you look in the sign code, it references home occupation signs, and it tells you exactly this. Although we did on or adjacent in the sign code right now, it says only on. But the reason is your sign code addresses residential areas. There's home occupations in commercial districts, so this clarifies no matter what district it's in, this is your.
And why would we hold
that? Why don't we?
Because it's a home occupation.
But
why is it listed under signage?
So
all area zones.
Well, you can do that. We just have to amend the sign code. So if you want to do that, you need to amend the sign code. If you want to, what's nice is, regardless of what use comes in, if somebody says, hey, city, I'd like to do a home occupation, I'm a beautician, I want to set up a little studio in my office, okay? If you have it in here in the home occupation permitted or performance standards, you can say, here you go. By the fact that it's in the sign code, it reiterates the situation, but our sign codes broke up by residential, commercial. So since home occupations are addressed in the residential portion of the sign code, if you are in the DC zone and you want to do a home occupation...
So wouldn't the perhaps better choice simply be here to reference the residential section of the sign code?
You can do that too.
But if you read the language, I don't know who wrote this. Did you get the council person that actually drafted this language?
No, she said they pulled it out.
I added the sign stuff based on your discussion. Yeah.
This is perhaps just semantics, but if you read it as I'm reading it, signs for home occupations shall be mounted. That's telling me I got to have a sign. Kinda. Tells me I need to have a sign.
If you have a sign, it just has to be mounted.
The way codes are written is if you trigger this, this is what you...
I think you're misinterpreting.
I have.
Just says, if you have a literal, if you have a sign, it shall to be on the door or adjacent to.
It doesn't say that.
But then we'd have to say, if you're going to run a business, here's your money.
Well, there's another piece that's fluctuating here, because there's a lot of licensing law for attorneys, for real estate brokers, et cetera, et cetera. You actually have to have, you have to put a sign out. It doesn't talk about how the sign looks or what the size is, but there's a legal requirement to post your legal entity on the door. So I look at this, and to me it says, I've got to have a sign if I'm going to have a home-based business. And then I'm going to have to refer to the sign code about what the sign looks like, how big it is, how far from the street, da-da-da-da-da. That's all I'm saying on this.
Well,
if you strike it all together, then...
Well, yeah, and I'm with you, and I think back to the sign code, I think we don't want to compel a business to have... I don't think we want to compel a business to have a sign should they choose not to. I could see at times maybe you would... But
all I'm saying is the way this is written
can't
be interpreted.
Well, again, I frankly favor that we reference the sign code and not try and cover it in two places.
I agree.
So
I think it should say something like
signs
should comply to whatever
signs for home occupation shall be in accordance to.
Yep.
About signage for home occupation shall be in accordance with the residential section of the sign
shall be in accordance with table 1820.060 residential uses.
Is that your motion, Bruce?
That's
it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Now we're up to the four that you mentioned earlier. We only got three.
I think we're good.
No, I think we're good.
We've gone through.
How much is
Well, no. We have A and I.
Oh.
Oh, I think I. And? Yeah. So I thought because we went by those, we were good.
No.
A.
I think A is fine.
Rob must have some.
Do something with A.
So. More questions. I may not actually object to the added language. It just feels a little bit redundant, I guess. Is A looking to be the definition of what a home occupation business is?
Mm.
Because I thought that was defined elsewhere. But we need to pause because Jeff.
I think it looks like it's defining it and then goes
smoke on the pencil over there.
I think
okay, so
definition. It's defining it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just clarifying that you in theory have to live in the residence.
Well, I think more than in theory. I hope more than in theory, because our definition says that you have to be a resident.
You have to be a resident.
Okay. So my question is...
What percentage of time?
That's my point. That's it.
I'm sleeping at night, you know?
Is the definition for home occupation business somewhere else in our code, or is this the only place where it's being defined? If this is the only place, then this totally makes sense to me. But I thought
I think it's somewhere
I was reading it elsewhere.
I think it's defined.
I just didn't write down the site.
Business wise, yeah.
That's probably where I was reading it.
And BMC 504.
There's a whole bunch of places in here where it gets kind of goofy. I mean, for example, D Delta. No more than one person who is not a resident of the dwelling can participate in the home occupation. So they got 25 people living there. They can all work there, right?
Oh, stop!
I'm just saying.
Yes, because they are residents.
Yeah.
And that means they have a place to sleep.
25 plus another person.
It's, it gets
to
be,
to live here.
The rules get stupid, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so,
so
okay. It is defined in our definition section, which is 1806.
Okay, so the question would be, I don't think we want to go through all of our code, adding definitions within the code where we have a table of definitions, right? So I don't know that it's helpful to add this first parenthetical. The second sentence referencing the other code section, that may be entirely appropriate.
So you're saying from
okay. So I
you want me to read to the definition because I think it does say a home occupation means any use permitted by terms of this code conducted entirely within a dwelling and carried on by the permanent resident or residents thereof, which use is clearly incidental and secondary to the use of the dwelling for dwelling purposes and does not change the character thereof.
Okay, so that's what I remember reading, and to me that is a much more robust and detailed definition than what is here, and I think adding this parenthetical essentially washes down the definition.
Do you need a motion?
So I'll make this motion. I will make a motion. I never do this. So I move to strike the parenthetical in sentence 1 of 153 home occupations A, starting with and a home occupation and ending at the period.
Occupation actually
resides. Keeping the remainder of the inserted language starting with that second sentence. Motion and a second. Jim, you got quizzical on your face?
I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Is that comma should be a period?
Yeah, that's
the comma should turn to a period. Yeah.
Required. Okay.
So you follow me, Jenna?
Yep. So the A would be a North Bend business license is required.
Period. And then the second sentence, a home occupation business license shall be issued and subject to.
Right.
Okay.
And clarify, it was you that seconded, right?
Bruce.
I had my head down.
Okay.
Do we need to talk about I? There's G, 4.
There's an added. Yeah. There's added. Just added business license to G, H, 4. I didn't have an issue with that.
Nope.
H, good.
H, 4. Last words. Over here.
It's just clarifying that we're talking about a home occupation business license.
Oh,
gotcha. Then to I again, I don't think I object here. I just want to be sure that I really understand what the reason that we're adding the language within all commercial zones. No home occupation business license will be issued for use that is otherwise prohibited in the underlying zone.
How about in all zones?
I guess I'm just wanting to be sure. The reason we need to do specifically call out commercial is that residential has restricted permitted uses as is. Is that what we're saying?
The reason why we're saying the word commercial.
Right. Why are we calling it out as commercial versus just saying?
Every home occupation, if it doesn't meet the underlying zoning in a residential zone.
Yeah, but don't we have
except for daycare
in some industrial zone currently?
Say that again?
We do have residential in.
Yeah, we do. Well, it's an EP2.
I guess the question is why site commercial? Why isn't it just no business license if it's not allowed in that zone?
Because when you look at the permitted use chart for residential, you couldn't cut hair in your home, you couldn't do taxes in your home, you couldn't do a lot, you couldn't do anything commercial in your home because there's no P's in the chart.
Right.
So when you're in the commercial zone, we have, you know, everything from the tax attorney to the dog groomer, and some things in between that are either are allowed or not based on what the city's vision is. So if you live in that zone, what this is trying to clarify is, if you live in the zone and you're doing a commercial use in your home, that use, that commercial use has to coincide with the commercial allowed uses.
So let me then just ask a clarifying statement then.
That wasn't very clear.
No. So one of those four residential homes that's in the EP2 that's not in the green slash, so if they wanted to open a, what's not permitted in a...
cell phone repair facility.
Or a tattoo parlor. No, that wouldn't work.
Something
I need an
named.
Example. Not yeah, oh. Something not named. They wouldn't
manufacturing.
Be able to do it.
If, okay, so in our downtown, we have...
No, I'm talking about, so...
In a residential.
So the...
Or
in EP2, the four...
Oh, that there is a house.
The four that are, like, they are residential, but they're in EP2. They want to open a home business because this wouldn't apply to them because it's... That's not within a commercial zone. What?
Automobile
repair. They want to do automobile repair there.
Because it's specifically calling out commercial versus industrial. Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's making me nervous about the language.
So does it need to be...
Why can't
within non-residential.
Yeah, just move all the text, remove all the text in blue, and so it's no home occupation business license will be issued for a use that is otherwise prohibited in the underlying zone.
But she's saying, like, haircut, whatever.
No,
the other
what you're doing by that is you're saying you could, if that was the language, you couldn't issue any home occupations in the entire city. You would create every home occupation to be a legal non-conforming use. Because what in every yellow zone, or, I mean, it's only the yellow and the HDR that we're talking about, but in that zone, there are no allowed commercial uses except if you do it through a home occupation. So what we're trying to do here is clarify when you come in, and if you have a use, a commercial use in a commercial district, but it's your house, like this greenhouse next door, you have to comply with the commercial uses allowed in that commercial zone, even if it's your home occupation. So the point, the one that you brought up out at truck in the EP2 area,
and so
there's four houses out there that have industrial uses as the permitted use. So that for those four, or in
or like
there,
any
there
are down there, yeah, there's a whole bunch of houses.
So I guess really what it comes down to is if I'm following the logic, I get what you're saying, that you're wanting to speak specifically to the allowed uses in commercial. It sounds like, based on what Piper's saying, that the fix is that it really just also should say industrial.
Well, if my concern, and Jenna, correct me if I'm wrong, if we included EP 1 and 2 in that line, what we were saying in that case, as it stands right now, could a residence become a manufacturer in the EP 1 or 2? Can a home business do that?
Because it's allowed.
I'm thinking if we put the EP 1, EP 2 statement in this section I, then that would permit it. Am I reading it correct? In that sense,
well,
so because then it's saying those are permitted activities, so then those residences could undertake those activities. Where right now they have to remain residences, I'm just not clear. If they are residences,
super,
and if they
clear.
Wanted to do manufacturing, could they or no? But if we put that in here, and they wanted to do, it's a permitted use, and so by putting it in here, then they would be able to do manufacturing.
Okay. So a couple clarifications. Commercial zones include any, include your EP1 and EP2. That's commercial.
Okay. Oh, it does?
Yeah.
I was thinking industrial.
Up through our chart.
Really? Okay. Well, that's a good clarification then.
Yeah, it says industrial.
Commercial, industrial.
I mean, they're very...
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good clarification. So then point number two, because we don't need to clarify that. If any of those four homes wanted to be absorbed and do any EP2 usage, that's their allowed zone. They could do that.
So it doesn't have any bearing on what's here. It's already allowed.
But you're talking about a conversion of use, not a home-based business then. Right.
Right. He was saying, yeah, I mean, if one of those homes wanted to do, you know, sell and be, you know, and add their, you know, I don't know, become...
They want to be a little manufacturer in their garage.
Yeah, I definitely want to be sure that we don't end up prohibiting them from being able to, which being in that zone wouldn't. Right? Because it's allowed.
You can flip it around and say, can the guy move into a place that's been zoned commercial or industrial? Right?
Yeah. I guess I'm just confused by the statement.
I think what you guys are pointing out is, okay, so it's saying, within all commercial and industrial zones, home occupation business license will be issued for a use that is otherwise no home occupation, that's an important word.
Yeah.
Will be issued for a use that is otherwise prohibited in the zone.
Mm-hmm. So if we prohibited something in EP1 or EP2, then they
would not be able to do it as a home occupation,
right.
which would still be our intent.
Yeah, which is our intent, yes. So we probably just need to add
the word industrial.
Industrial, yes. To be super clear.
That was actually a good
note. I know you guys hate me, but sometimes I don't know what it is.
Is that a motion you want to do
tonight?
No,
it's your motion. You brought it up.
In section 1.53, letter I, to insert within all commercial, insert the word and industrial zones.
Isn't industrial... I'm sorry, I'll
interrupt. Okay, we got a motion.
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Piper beat you to the punch now. Jim.
So maybe I'm being schooled at the moment, but to me, industrial is a subset of commercial. Commercial covers everything.
Well, that's what Jenna's referencing, but what I'm wanting to be very clear about, that's not the way our table's set up.
Yeah. The table doesn't support that.
I agree that...
Because of the EP types.
Yes.
Because we've just made the distinction.
No, I think we're talking about... The chart does make it look like there's industrial and commercial.
Yeah.
So it's just to make it super clear.
Wouldn't have that breakout.
If it didn't have...
Right. Yeah.
Just eliminating potential error. So are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Who's seconding?
I did.
If you smash it.
All right. I believe that's everything in 1810.050.
Yep.
Anyone have anything else for 1810.050?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve table 1810.050 as amended.
I second.
Got a motion and a second to adopt revised table 1810.050 performance standards as amended this evening. A second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay,
well
one more
done,
thing.
Gary. Okay, there must be another.
Summary
I must
findings.
Have something else here.
Summary findings.
It is 10 minutes to 9.
So what do we need to do about our summary findings?
Well, the first thing, considering the suggestion of time, which I was going to actually lead off with tonight, if asking if the commission would set a time limit to 9 o'clock. But here we are, and we've gotten pretty far through.
We can make it to 9.
Let's go. So should we go through findings one by one?
So I guess
or do we want to make general statements of why we believe in what we're doing?
We'll make clarification. This is being put before us, right?
I would say we strike 1 through 2 through 9.
3 through 9, and this, and it pairs up with the ordinance.
Bruce, I'm sorry, Jim. Bruce, you were saying strike what?
2 through 9.
2 through 9.
I'll second.
So that's
okay. So we've got a motion and a second to strike from staff report and planning commission findings, conclusions, and recommendations in the summary findings sections, items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other questions? I've got a few before we take that vote. Does anyone else have any question on any of the particular items? Okay.
I'm going to strike the whole thing with all
the questions. So the reason why we're seeing a lot of this could be put in elsewhere that will cover these issues during permit and business licensing.
Well,
and so they also have to follow these safeguards to prevent these within the WAC.
Right. So it's already, a lot of this is already in RCWs. Mm-hmm. It's enforceable by the RCWs.
Well, and I think that's where I was struggling with it. So instead of saying that we've got something that's the problem here, it seems like we should be stating it in the reverse and saying, as per WAC this and WAC that, we find these to be allowed, you know, permitted uses. I mean, it seems we can go the positive route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I said by removing these, then we can turn around and put whatever order we would like to put in.
All right. Okay. So, any further comment? All right. Call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right.
Well, let me circle back to the primary point to me is kind of like it's the very first, it's page one. It reads North Bend Municipal Code Amendments, Chapter 18, without you just don't read this. It speaks about tattoo parlors and permitted uses. And then it's this litany of something that somebody got from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right? I understand why it's there. But for our role, as this pertains to this topic, my thought is, it seems like we just fixed it with the changes we've done. The places that it's permitted.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting a change to the background for amendments section?
Maybe. I'm just kind of thinking out loud a little bit.
Okay.
I'm saying that if our changes were in the code prior to this coming before the council.
Well, if I could just insert there. I mean, this is the history. I mean, that we can't change history.
Right. Yep.
Right.
But we can provide guidance to the council, which is what they've asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That may not fit what they've given us.
But what I think you're suggesting is what we need to do at this point is to add.
Right.
Right? So these things did occur. Right? Council met March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have permitted and conditional use tables, et cetera. Home occupations are defined, et cetera, et cetera. What we're saying is there something that we want to add in the background for the amendments prior to getting to what any findings that we might?
So can I ask a question?
Forward? Sure.
So if this was anything else, so like the last time that we met, we had the four things that we voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Do we always, so this is the staff report, and planning commission findings, conclusions, and recommendations, do we actually have to bring this forward with our findings, conclusions, and recommendations, or can it just be, here's the history, this basically says it, the amendments provided on the attached Exhibit A reflect this recommendation. End of story. Or do we
yes.
feel like we need to justify how we got where we are? I would just say, hey, council, you should listen to that and hear our deliberation and conversation, which I think then eliminates the need to sit and counter each of these in a positive way, or to...
Yeah, so I want to let Jenna pick up, because I think we need it. Okay.
Just tracking.
Gotcha. All right, so I mean, to me, it's there's partially at least a staff question within that is procedurally, can we go the route being suggested that we don't need to state any findings at all? Or I've never seen us do that in all of my years, so I would hesitate. And I guess coming back kind of to the point, it's the first time in all of my years that I disagreed with the findings of fact that led toward decisions we made. So I know I'm in it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you made the first step. You said strength findings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think, you know, you don't... You could probably very, you know, diligently create a finding for each. There's three different topics.
Mm-hmm.
So you could create a quick, I mean, we could just say right now, 18-10-030, the one where you're finding regarding the motion to include tattoos in the DC, IC, IMU, and NB zone.
Mm-hmm.
Finding would be, your articulated reason for that would be that you felt tattoo parlors were, and I'm feeling, I'm just kind of giving you guys,
filling in the blanks,
is an appropriate use within those commercial zones, and do not, you know, whatever you know, I think you could keep it clear, concise, and each finding could be two sentences long.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give the council maybe some information as to what...
Well that's kind of where I was trying to go with it, is the whole point of findings is that you're trying to provide guidance as to why you reached the conclusions that you did. And it's not just for council, but certainly should be oriented to council, because it's our recommendation to them which are going to take action. But it is also, of course, guidance to any public that is that is looking at, well, why did the Planning Commission take the action it did? It's our opportunity to explain ourselves. So this is why we chose to make that decision. So that's why I would hesitate to go with the no findings.
No, and I'm going to backpedal on it.
Yeah. May I just offer some findings that I was able to acquire?
I'm more than happy to hear.
So my first one I'd like to offer, and Jenny, I will give you this as well as the web links, is from the Pew Research. It's a portrait of Generation Next, and they did a study on the prevalence of tattoos based on age range. And so that's where they gave me the data that I referenced, where 36% of Americans age 18 to 25 and 40% of those 25 to 40 had a tattoo. And I also accessed some data about North Bend, where our average age was 38.7 years. And so where the almost half of our population has a tattoo, where I thought they should have some kind of that service accessible, and how I thought it was, you know, fitting within who our people are. Also on this sheet is from Wikipedia, and the web links are here as well. As of 2009 in the United States, there's been no reported of cases of HIV contracted from tattooing.
So you made a motion to add these findings?
Yeah, I was going to ask. Or
submitted to the record. Yes.
Well, you're making some submission, but you're also, I think, you're suggesting some finding that would cite those references you're providing, right?
Yes.
And so I guess we need that quick and dirty 1-2 sentence statement that summarizes and cites the finding.
You got that, Gary? You're usually really good at this.
Yeah,
we got 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll give him time to think about that, right? And my question for the rest of the commission would be, and based on what he said, or I think you're going to be in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
Is are there any other additional sites or findings that you feel are important to be included in the written record?
So I don't know if I necessarily have a finding because it's not something that is a documentable thing. But I think if I could say my recommendation is, you know, we for such a long time have, it might be nice to include something that talks about like how we came out of our building moratorium, we're eager to get good economic development going, so this like 100% aligns with our goals to really kind of give opportunities to folks to come in and help us to
evolve types of business.
To evolve, and yeah, whoever it is. I mean, I think that that's another really good key thing that the city council needs to hear and needs to consider, because with the, what I'll go out on a limb and say, the closed-minded of, no, we only want to put it here, I feel like that doesn't comply with our overall goals that we've had for the last couple of years, or how do we make this happen?
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I think those sort of statements do go a long way to explaining why we've taken the actions that we are, and it's not the nice, clean finding where you're citing other work necessarily.
Right.
A lot of my feelings on it were, again, going back to thinking about our primary purpose of promoting and making available opportunities for small business and owner-occupied businesses, and I guess, you know, my finding as such would be that I've with the WAC citations and the reading there, and with the overall intent of the zoning and development standards of the city, I found no reasonable reason to exclude this particular use above that of other uses, whether it be the sale of alcohol or tobacco products or other adult-oriented uses, businesses that we allow and regulate. So that would be one statement. Then I'll vary a little bit and say, early in the discussion this evening, we talked about some restrictive code language potential around where this tattoo parlors would be permitted. And so before we go too far in closing out findings and the evening and taking the final vote to send this whole package on to council, I wanted to remind you of that and ask, do we feel that we've addressed our concerns there, or do we want to send back to staff what the decisions we've made, but to come back to us with you know, any proposed setbacks or other specific performance standards that more match up with that. So I just wanted to bring that back to your attention, that we kind of walked away from that.
I'm going to say my concern was, you know, if it was going to be in a residential use, and since we didn't permit it in those zones, then, well, I know the downtown core has some residential uses. The statement about the one additional person, I believe, limits the size of an activity that this could become. So okay. I have limited concerns.
Okay. The other types of activities that typically, and I'm not stating that I support any of the setbacks from this, but often it could be related to churches, schools, which we do have also in those zones. So if you're, as long as you're comfortable,
sure.
There.
Yep. Schools, daycares, okay.
Right.
And the library is typical.
Yeah.
So yeah. Kind of a comment, which my objective is to kind of get us to a place that everybody's comfortable.
Yeah.
Comment is, just because somebody threw us a ball doesn't mean we have to throw it back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the statement that if I were being asked, what do you want to say back to the council? Some scribbles here. So we could say something, or a motion could be presented, etc., that says something like, commission has reviewed and modified the table of permitted uses. Recommendation from the commission beyond this input seems unwarranted. We said what we need to say. We're changing the table of commissions and committee uses.
That's
you can keep it as simple as you want.
Yeah.
Yep. So let me also ask this. So there will be an event where you sit down with city staff, with our, I don't know what you call them, so our city council representatives, and talk through, isn't there an event that happens each time? Or?
No.
There is no event.
I was thinking maybe you were referring to kind of the annual report, which is often presented by staff, which I offered to do. But no, there's no regular scheduled meeting where
now
I sit down with council.
So for those of you who probably weren't there, I'm not even sure that Jenna went, were you there that night that I spoke at the last city
the
council
last
meeting?
Council?
Yeah.
I noted you were there.
Yeah, I think I was there.
I read the minutes.
It was really interesting to me because after the meeting, Jean and I can't think of his name. What's that?
Jonathan
came up to me later and they were like, oh, I'm very interested in your comments. And so they were like, so where is this coming from? I was like, I feel like you guys really need to listen to this, listen to the public comment. I think it's super interesting to see because, I mean, admittedly, when we go through this a lot of times, I think we're all generally in agreement. Sometimes we have one person's like, oh, no, I don't. But for the most part, I think it's an overwhelming majority one way or the other. And I felt like the last meeting, it was not. And it was definitely very, like, on the fence. And so he thought it was very interesting. He's like, you know what? I never even thought to ask what the votes were on things. And so I thought that was just really interesting. So for this kind of thing, I thought that you had an event.
Yeah.
I thought there was a meeting.
There's no regular scheduled meeting. Between.
So that there could be conversation like, hey, so here's what I see what you're saying. Can you explain this, why that, you as the spokesperson for us?
Yeah. It actually would be
so that we could have the.
It is predominantly staff's job. There is also a council liaison who has now attended once in my years here, and I was very happy that council member attended the last meeting. But that is also the forum where they could get their council's direct insight. But I've never turned down going and sitting with a council work study or a council committee or to council itself, but there's not a regular scheduled interchange.
May I?
Back to your
suggestion.
So I've tested the waters, and I move that we recommend to council the following statement. The Planning Commission has reviewed and modified the table of committed uses. Recommendation from the council beyond this input seems unwarranted.
Read the last part. Okay.
The recommendation from the commission.
From the commission. Okay.
Beyond this input seems unwarranted.
Can I get a second for discussion?
I'll second it.
Okay. All right. Now discussion.
Yeah.
So my rationale was to say, we don't want to just not say anything. And it seems that there's so much energy around this topic that we should make it clear that we as a body have actually spent time on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that we've covered all the ground that needs to be covered because we covered it in working through what we did earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's appropriate to deal with something that was handed us just because it was handed to us.
So you don't feel like there's a need for us to debate any of the original findings, which I agree with, or to even put forth any kind of foundation for how we got there, that we should just...
You don't want to mention Gary's demographic information?
I think it's great information. I just don't know what we'll do with further... expanding on the lectures beyond what we've already done.
Could you, I'm guessing you wrote a fairly short statement. Could you read what you wrote?
not fairly short, but
still. Half a page.
The Planning Commission finds that the Pew Research Center telephone survey, which found 36% of Americans age 18 to 23 and 40% of those 26 to 40 having tattoos as a form of self-expression, matches with the majority of North Bend residents who are in this age range per the 2010 census data.
So, go ahead. So I kind of like that, and I'm with you, Jim, on kind of where you're going. It seems like a good concluding statement mm-hmm. to make.
Yeah.
But I in addition to that, we've kept summary finding 1, 10, 11, and 12, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think a statement along those lines would be well served to help express, because I can certainly sign on, and I could probably come up with 10 others and don't want to.
Yep.
But I think that one kind of definitely captures the flavor. So I would offer...
We
can certainly adopt your statement as, say, the final statement. Mm-hmm. Would you agree
awesome.
With that?
The friendly amendment I'm hearing is to insert this language.
Well, not just on yours.
Yeah. It's kind of the precursor to it. And
I think
it would
be two, right? We list it as two.
How about if we accepted Jim's language as the final finding, regardless?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. If that would be my friendly amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. So you accept the amendment. Okay. And you accept the amendment. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'm sure Jim will hand you his written
statement. Yeah, I was just going to ask if we can maybe crisp that up and make it a little shorter and sweet and to the point, because my worry is I know exactly how this is going to be consumed by the city council. I feel pretty confident how I think this is going to be consumed. We need to be very concise about what those words are to make the point that we need to make, instead of this long diatribe of words.
So Gary, my suggestion would be any of the language which is in the site that you've provided can be struck, and I would suggest that you bring it pretty close to
the words that you said when you opened it.
Well, yeah. Yesterday. Well, that we find this information site consistent with this community,
and just the tidbits of the age. I think that will be super.
One of the greatest values of that information is that it is information, and I would argue that based on the language used from council, referencing the 2008 meeting that they said they found things. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what happened in 2008. That will help.
Yes.
Right.
Back on this old school logic that they were applying.
So may I offer one brief fact that you can deliberate on while I think of this other one? I'd like to motion to add the finding that since 2009, no known cases of HIV have been contracted as a result of tattoos.
So I love that.
I got a motion.
Oh, sorry.
I need a second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Discussion.
Now.
So I love that, but I worry that then we're going down the path of this, of you said mm-hmm. this, we said that. You said this, we say that. And so I feel like I love it. It's in the findings, right? Read the findings, guys.
Well it's not in the findings.
No.
Oh, it's not in the findings.
No, it's not in the findings. That's the point.
Yeah, the reference to what's being said has to go back to the source. Otherwise,
I am kind of wondering.
But
can I ask a question?
Sure.
So we're talking about the whole known cases, of causing mm-hmm. HIV. That's a procedural aspect of a business that you've been more looking at, not the safety ramifications of the business, rather the zoning. So
right.
I guess why we're addressing that was littered with statements around safety that didn't seem supportable.
Yeah. So my thought was when you deleted those, you made that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah. So You don't have the actual excerpt of that, Gary, of the HIV thing?
Yeah, as of 2000.
So can it not just be included as supporting stuff, just like...
Versus these, making it a finding?
Yeah, versus, you know, these other letters and emails are going to go along with the packet, right? The emails and communications we got from
the public.
So we're going to include this study that he has. So can we not just include it?
It's
reference? But we're not going to do the volley debate.
So, I might suggest, Gary, maybe the finding is that...
we have a motion on the table regarding the... Are you amending that?
I'm suggesting a potential amendment to it. And I don't know that I'm comfortable with it, but it would be more along the lines of just that the Planning Commission did not find public safety concerns in its research.
Which kind of goes in line with your
kind of. Yeah, and I'm just as comfortable to not have a finding at all. But I'm just, so I'm purely asking if you to consider.
I kind of feel that we struck all their 9 points. Mm-hmm. It's pretty
clear.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay. So.
I don't think we want to rebuttal too much.
So. Then we can...
You can always go speak. You can speak and put those things out there.
Gary, do you want to go to a vote or withdraw? That's a question.
I will withdraw.
Okay. So motion with previous withdrawn. Okay. Thank you. All right.
All right. Do you have your nice little short and sweet that we can...
This is going to appear in our minutes next meeting, correct?
What's that? This?
Absolutely.
Well, it's already going to be at council on Tuesday.
So if we find error in what's written, we can call it out.
Right.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying, as it comes down, you're rewriting, and I'm like, it's all recorded, and if there's something wrong with it, we'll say something.
We always, Tom does the minutes, and he listens to the recording. I was actually going to try and clock this out tomorrow, but I'm gonna wait and have Tom do it on Monday. So.
Believe me, I'm wishing I could rewind that right now. What did I say?
Because it was awesome. Yeah, that.
I had solved all the problems.
Hey, Tom.
Whatever I said.
Hey, Tom.
Did you have that rehearsed?
Yeah. Einstein fell asleep after MC.
Well, what we need to remember is how much we value that Gary does this.
I did. Yeah. Here. Kudos.
So.
I'll buy you a beer.
You withdrew the motion, though.
Or Gary withdrew the motion.
Yeah.
And I was good with
that. I was thinking about his amendment. Yeah.
I never actually made it. I asked him what if.
That's what it was. The median age of amending 38 means that over a third of our population. Family and art, or you wanted just the first one? Okay.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. You got it.
Make a motion to include that the Planning Commission finds that the median age in North Bend being 38 means that only one-third of our population has tattoos, and they consider them a form of self-expression, whether it's for who they are, their interest, or in a level.
Friendly amendment. First sentence says means they have, suggests.
Second. Okay.
On
motion. Excuse me. I did get to still be chair. Motion and a second. Please read it again.
The Planning Commission finds that the median age of North Bend being 38 suggests that over a third of our population has tattoos, and they consider them as a form of self-expression, whether it is for who they are, their interests, or for a loved one.
I'm still struggling. Are we in discussion? Or
well, you're in discussion. I just
so
want to
clarify. To me, there's got to be some reference that says that's not our finding. We didn't go get that information from somewhere. We should reference the source.
So can you just put at the end reference that finding? Just in parens, like
2010 Census and Pew Research. What's it called?
Yeah, that's I agree with you, Jim. Because to me, that's what made it the powerful statement. Yeah. So we're looking at a piece of research, and based on that, it suggests our community.
And Jim, you seconded that, right?
Yep.
I
think.
Somebody.
No. I did. Piper seconded.
Okay. Two and a half.
So, Gary, my suggestion would be is that you lead with the reference.
So the Planning Commission finds that the 2010 census data and Pew Research Portraits of Generation Next
supports
the median age of North Bend being 38
and it'd be probably and that the median age of North Bend is. And you need to cite where that came from. That would be the census.
About the Planning Commission. Sorry to do this on the fly.
That's okay. We're good.
No, that's great. It's a game changer, I think. Just giving them current data.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing that, though. The motion you made that was this one is still the last. Yeah.
It's the last one.
Yeah. Just to make sure.
Yeah. I got to tell you guys, I'm on Parks Commission. We never have drama like this. This is awesome. Is this drama?
In there, we put the playground.
Yes, and maybe I was going to say maybe I need to go back to the Parks Commission. I used to create drama.
What does that say something about me? I don't know.
Maybe they're just bitching about all the new communities going. Yeah. They're putting how many where?
What?
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The other value I see in this information which can be researched, it's not just us saying it, council members and people, the public, etc., you can go back and reference it and go, I read the same thing you read, or I don't, how that conversation gets started, then people can validate it, they own the information. The other reason I say that is the way this was written, particularly the language talking about 2008, there was a sentence where they tied tattoo, piercing an adult in the same sentence suggests that's their perspective. And that's going to help.
Good one.
Sometimes you have to give the boss the tools to turn the wrench.
You just pull the witticisms tonight.
He's not a wrong.
Sure.
Can you go through this page by page and show me what's going on here? I've been trying to whisper his ear and tell him it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Right now, I couldn't know.
I'm struggling with putting the the source at the beginning of the statement.
Okay, however, so it's your motion.
All right. So the Planning Commission finds that the median age of North Bend being 38 from the 2010 census data suggests, from the portrait of Generation Next from the Pew Research Center, that over one-third of our population has tattoos, and that they consider them a form of self-expression, whether it's for who they are, their interests, or love.
And that is your revised motion.
I will second that.
You have a second. Any further discussion?
All the questions.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then I am going to make a motion to approve amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.030 and North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.025 concerning tattoo parlors as a permitted use in certain zoning districts, and amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.050 concerning home occupation uses, as amended this evening, including the revised findings.
So you're just doing a summary motion right now,
yes,
of all your
yes,
motions?
Yes.
Yes.
Just wrapping it up.
Necessary, but
I like it.
Word.
Okay.
I second.
Thank you.
All right.
So motion 13.
All right. So Piper, listen, mm-hmm. please, carefully. Make mm-hmm. sure I restate you mm-hmm. correctly. Your motion was to forward to council,
yes.
planning commission's recommendations for amendments to municipal North Bend Municipal Code 1810.030 and 1810.025 concerning tattoo parlors as permitted uses in the certain zoning districts, and amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 1810.050 concerning home occupation uses, as amended this evening, and including the summary findings. That's
second.
That?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The motion is second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Unanimous. Anything further this evening? I had two things I wanted to.
Yep.
I wanted to note two things before adjournment, if we could.
Just one for the record, that I am supplying staff my research and also the web links to the
awesome.
Data.
I just wanted to point out that I hope Planning Commission members did note they received an invitation from the city to a Civic Center kickoff on the 24th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hope you'll be able to attend. Also wanted to remind staff that the Planning Commission several meetings ago requested an update from the Public Works Department on water and sewer availability. Mm-hmm. We've not heard anything back on that.
Okay.
I'm done.
And when did you request that? I was not there. So I'll just say previously.
Two meetings ago. So I would just like to add, like, I would encourage everybody to attend City Council meeting on Tuesday night and plan to be there. I'll decide
yes.
what I may or may not say, but I think that this is super important. I think this was a really interesting and difficult conversation, and it, like, this is something that we had to dig through stuff, and really, this is probably one of the hardest things I think that I've done since I've been here, which is kind of interesting and funny. But so I just feel strongly that I feel like we need to have representation.
Good practice for everyone.
Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a good one.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Jenna, I'm just writing this out for you.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Hey, who seconded Piper's motion on the...